Welcome to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast, where we focus on the people, the products, and the process of e-commerce selling today. Here's your host, Stephen Peterson.
E-Commerce Momentum Podcast, Episode 41, Todd Lammy of Wholesale Intel. Now, I'm going to tell you up front, this is going to have a sales pitch in it, okay? So listen to it. Don't buy it if you don't want it. However, if you are buying retail arbitrage and you've been turned away at a store, or you are limited in quantity, I find that to be the biggest thing. You find two of an item and you go to four other of the same stores and they don't have them. That happens to us. Or if you're an online seller, online arbitrage buyer, and your account gets frozen because you're using a prep company and they blocked you, or your Target card has been cut off because they claim you're a reseller, or people are saying you're not authorized to sell their products, this is worth listening to, because Todd's program, he's 100% wholesale. He might as well be. He's got 99.999%. And for the last 4 years, he's been doing nothing but wholesale. He's going to do well over $1 million this year. His program, it's $197. That's the cost. Total cost. Includes everything. So put that out front. If you don't want to listen, I understand. But you get a discount if you click through the link on the podcast website under E-Commerce Momentum Podcast, this episode number 41. You get $50 off that discount. It includes everything. I think when you listen to what Todd has done and how he has done it, I think you really, really should take a hard look at changing your business model next year, not fourth quarter, but start the work now to get ready for next year. Let's get into the podcast. All right, welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast, and tonight's guest, I'm going to call him Mr. Wholesale. I mean, I really, you know, when you think about, when I think of wholesale, it is immediately that Todd Lammy's name comes to mind. Everything about Todd is wholesale, and I love his story. Hey, welcome, Todd.
Thank you, Stephen. I appreciate you having me on as a guest on your show.
Well, I'll be really transparent and say this is the second time that I've interviewed Todd. The first time I had a computer glitch and lost the interview. So I think it's going to be better, because I've actually had a lot of time to think about what we talked about a few weeks ago. And what really, really interests me is I talked to Robin Johnson, and we were talking about focus. And I said, you know, I interviewed Todd Lammy, and he said that he never got sidetracked by all these shiny objects that are out there. You never tried private label. You never tried shoes. Well, I guess you do shoes, but you do it wholesale. But you've not jumped on the bandwagons that are out there, because it is very distracting. And I remember you saying that you just put your head down and worked and didn't have time for Facebook. That has really stayed with me, and I know it's true, because I've seen your sales. I mean, it's an incredible growth that you have had, and yet you still work a full-time job.
Yeah, it is. It has been quite the challenge with, you know, juggling a full-time job, a family, you know, kind of like what you have, and also trying to grow a Amazon business. And so the one thing, you know, when I started in January of 2012, you know, I wasn't on Facebook. I didn't use it. I think get on Facebook until my third year in business. And even now I don't use it for personal things. It's just people, because I have a group that I use Facebook for. But, you know, I didn't know anyone. My brother-in-law kind of got me started, and he was doing it, but he's only doing DVDs. So I just kind of learned by trial and error. And so it's figure stuff out on your own, put your head down, do the work. And so there wasn't even really those distractions to be had. And then once I kind of got on Facebook, when I was Googling around, trying to see like, hey, what other information is there to learn, kind of, there's just so many distractions out there. And even, you know, I was talking to, you know, some people in my group about, hey, this merchandise by Amazon, people are doing the whole t-shirt thing. And I'm like, seriously, it's Q4. There's like, now is the time you can be distracted about anything. You have two tasks for November, December. It's like, manage inventory, manage your prices. There's nothing else to focus on. There's, you know, and it just boggles my mind how people kind of jump to the next shiny object. And, you know, I've had people that have started the wholesale, you know, they do it for a month or two, It doesn't work. They try private label for a month or two. It doesn't work. They try OA for a month or two. They try retail arbitrage. And then, you know, a year later, they come back to me and say, okay, I'm ready to try wholesale again. It's like, you know, where have you been for the last year? And so to me, the number one issue where people struggle in this business is by not sticking to a lane and just following it through to the end. You know, everyone wants that instant gratification. So it's like if I make 10 contacts for wholesale and I get 10 no's, it's like, oh, throw my hands up, I give up. You know, it's too hard. And, you know, they move on to OA and they try something. And then Amazon maybe comes in on what they bought after 2 weeks and they don't have a sale. It's like, oh, throw my hands up, let me try retail arbitrage. And then, you know, and it's just like a vicious cycle that people get on of trying one of those paths or jumping on the next shiny object. And I think the one reason I've been, and I won't even say successful, I think it's been, had some successes, but just stayed focused. It's like, you know, a tunnel, and all I see is getting accounts at the end of that tunnel, which leads to sales, which leads to profit, which leads to more accounts. And it just kind of helps you scale your business. But to me, that when I've talked and done coaching with people, the biggest issue has just been people straying off the path, losing focus. And once you lose focus, you lose traction, you know, you lose ground. It's like the fastest time to a distance or destination is like the straight line. It's like that gets you where you want to be faster. And when you think about scaling your business, wholesale is that straight line, that straight path to get you to scale your business. You start veering, you know, left in the fork in the road to try OA, or you veer right to try retail arbitrage, and you don't really get to where you want to go. And the end goal is to grow and scale your business. And so I think that's what's helped me, is just staying on that path, no distractions, no interference, no noise outside of what my task is, and that is to find new accounts, find more accounts, and that's going to scale my business.
You know, I think you said something really important. You can be successful. We know million-dollar sellers. You and I personally know million-dollar sellers doing retail arbitrage. We know million-dollar sellers doing online arbitrage. We know million-dollar sellers doing private label. We know million-dollar sellers doing wholesale. All of them work. The problem is you have to – I think people start it, and then they find, wait, this is hard work. And then they move on to the next one thinking it's not going to be hard work. And I'm here to tell you every one of them, because we do all of them, they're all hard work. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I think to the people that do OA and they're doing $1 million of retail arbitrage, doing $1 million is like, bless their souls. You know, I bow down to people like that. But, you know, when I started in 2012, because I had the full-time job, I started wholesale from day one. So when you say, you know, like all wholesale, it's like I'm truly wholesale. You know, I did a little bit of OA in Q4 of last year, just when I was testing something out with a team of VAs, but I'm like 99.99% wholesale. And so when I started the business, it's like, well, I work a job 8 to 5. I commute, let's say an hour. You eat dinner with the family. You talk to the kids. You help them with homework. And so from 9 till midnight or whatever, that's that 3-hour window I have. And so it's like, I'm not running out to, you know, Walmart or somewhere at night and finding a product I can sell, you know, 2 times and I have to find more. It's like I'm not doing OA where I can buy 5 things and then it's sold out. It's just, to me, from a time standpoint and the ability to scale and grow my business, wholesale just seemed like without question the way to go. I didn't even really consider any other options, because to me, placing an order, having whatever quantity I want shipped to me, it sells through and I just keep reordering more of that, it seemed just like a no-brainer way to go for the business. And so it is a lot of hard work, all of them, but the amount of work you can do in a little bit of time and still get to 100,000, 500,000, a million, whatever your goal is through wholesale, to me is so much easier. Because, you know, when I do reorders and I just shot like a little video I didn't post yet where I have like 44 boxes stacked up in my garage.
I'm looking at the picture right now. You actually have it out on Facebook.
And it's like, yeah, and it's like the time to source that product took me a half hour, because all it is reordering from my wholesalers. I don't have to go spend, you know, 4 hours scanning in Walgreens or CVS. I don't need to spend, you know, 3 hours on Walmart.com looking for flips. I don't need to have, you know, three VAs looking for product for me. It's just, I just click the easy button on my website and just say reorder, 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 you know. It doesn't take that long. And so it's the amount of time you put in is a lot less than I think any of the other things. So yes, you can make $1 million through any of the four paths of wholesale, private label, OA or RA. But to me, the amount of time you spend on it, wholesale is the easiest as far as the amount of effort you have to put in to reach your end goal, because it's just items you can reorder time and time again.
I think it's intimidating, and you know, I think people are afraid of it, and we're going to dispel a lot of myths about wholesaling today. But, you know, Todd, one of the great stories I love about you is how you ended up doing this business. I mean, you know, you have a great job, and you worked that job, and you just came back from a big trip, right? So you still have a lot of responsibility. How did you – why don't you tell the story of how you ended up where you are in Texas versus California, and why you're doing this business?
Yep, sure. So we were living in California. I worked at a entertainment gaming company, and they relocated us. They said, hey, we're going to take, you know, 8 people from our group and relocate you to Austin, Texas. And so it was a difficult move because my wife's family's in California. My family is still back in Wisconsin. So we were moving to a place where we didn't know anyone. We had just had our second daughter, and she was only 1.5. And my wife's family had given us a lot of help and, you know, support for different things there. And so it's like moving to a state where we don't know anyone, kind of not starting over, but you're starting new there. And so after a little over just a year, they had moved like 8 of us. The company laid a bunch of us off. And so my wife was not working. She was home with the kids. And so it was like the first time where it's like, oh, you know, gosh, now what am I going to do? And it's just a horrible feeling being out of a job when you're the only person providing income for the family. And so eventually I found a job and then moved to a different job and then to the job I'm at. But that time period is like I realized very quickly I don't have a backup plan. And so being let go from a company where you think, hey, they relocated me, I have all this responsibility, you know, I should be pretty secure, is like really the least secure I probably was in a job, and I didn't realize it at the time. So, you know, shame on me for not having a backup plan in place. So I had tried internet marketing a little bit, you know, while I was looking for work and did some different things like that. I was like, it's not really sustainable. You're kind of gaming the Google AdSense and different things. And so in 2011, when we went back to visit my in-laws in California, my brother-in-law was selling on Amazon, and he just sells DVDs. That's all he sells. And so I know he had been selling it, and I was like, hey, you know, I'm interested. I want to kind of learn, see what you're doing. And so he helped me get an account set up, and I was like, man, this seems like it just seemed like a numbers game. When he was explaining it to me, it's like, you buy this, sell this, you get this money back. And I just thought it's just math at that point of finding products, selling it, replenishing, that kind of thing. And so when I went back home in January, I had found a wholesale vendor and placed my first order as $1,000, and just kept reordering from that one account. Then, you know, found a couple other accounts that year. And so I've just been kind of stacking accounts on top of that. But now it's like, you know, I have the job. When people talk about different streams of income, my full-time job, you know, that's one stream of income. Now I have the Amazon business, which is now that coverage for my full-time job. So I have like a backup. So now I have to come up with a backup for the backup for, you know, if Amazon goes away. And so that's something I'll kind of be looking at in 2016. So it's kind of because of that, getting laid off from a job, having no income when you're, you know, the sole provider. It was just a tough time, but it was in my mind that I was going to come up with a way to make sure that if that happened again, that, you know, fool me once, shame on me, fool me, or shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me, that type of thing, that I was going to have something in place to cover that money loss if a job went away. And so that's what motivated me at that time, and so that's kind of what's been driving me ever since.
It's an insurance policy, really, isn't it? You know, because, you know, you're in an industry that sometimes they get rid of divisions, right? They just shut down a division, or they, you know, companies merge or something like that. And they're like, well, we have this department here and we have another duplicate department. Which one are we going to keep, right? And so those things happen. It's not like it's your fault. You didn't do anything wrong, but that being not being in control, I think, is the biggest issue. And so you now have a way to control your situation. And let's face it, most people don't. So I say well done, and you've really taken it well. I want to take a break. And when we come back, I want to dispel a whole bunch of myths about wholesale, because there is a lot of stuff floating around out there. And I think the timeliness of what you're doing is really important, especially as we're looking at fourth quarter, because fourth quarter is going to end pretty soon. I mean, it doesn't seem like it. We're already first week of November, right? What happens in January, you know, and so by getting a plan in place, and I think the timing is just great. So let's take a break. We'll be right back. Today's podcast is brought to you by Seller Essentials, essential business solution for online sellers. Whether you sell general merchandise on Amazon or eBay, private label your own product, or if your focus is selling books, wholesale products, or liquidation lots, let Seller Essentials be your online resource for all things e-commerce. Essential resources, essential solutions, Seller Essentials, the Internet's premier venue for online professional. Visit SellerEssentials.com for more information. That's SellerEssentials.com. By now, I think you've figured out that Todd knows what he's talking about. And there are some other great programs out there, and I'm not going to diminish any one of them. I'm just saying for this particular one, for the cost, I mean, it's $200 less the $50. You get all this. Just his Excel model, where you take a you run a report in Amazon, you download it into Excel, which he gives you the Excel model, is worth it alone because it'll allow you to forecast. If that's not your strength, you don't have to worry about it. He's already done the work for you. His videos, all his old Spreecasts are included. It's an amazing deal. And again, think about where you want to take your business. Do you want a business or do you want a job? And I think some of the writing's on the wall in the future as more brands become restricted, more items are getting claimed counterfeit or you're not authorized and all that kind of jazz. This is a way to stop that. He doesn't run into it. He's run into it. I think he refers to it in this segment twice. I think he said he's run into a counterfeit claim. He takes the invoice, shows him, hey, I'm authorized to sell it, blah, 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 boom. And he commingles. That makes it he's even more vulnerable to it. And he's selling over seven figures, and it's happened to him twice. Amazing, amazing results. So again, there's a link on e-commerce momentum podcast episode 41 where you get $50 off. So it's 197 less the 50. You only get that through here. And I think he's very generous with what he's giving. And, you know, I'm a member. I really suggest you consider it. Again, you know, hate to make the pitch to you, but I just think it's something that you can really take and set up for Q1 next year and start the work now. Let's get back into the podcast. All right, we're back, and we're talking with Todd Lammy, Mr. Wholesale, I'll call him, because he has a business where it's 99.999999% wholesale, and quite frankly, always has been. He really doesn't know any better, that he really didn't get distracted by all the fancy things, didn't have to go out and learn that this is everything else is hard work too, and you just kept your nose to the grindstone. So let's dispel a few myths, right? Because there's a lot of stuff I read about wholesale. Let me ask you true or false questions, all right? A whole bunch of them. You must have thousands and thousands of dollars to get wholesale accounts. True or false?
False. You can order as little as $100 through some companies.
All companies do not want to sell to online sellers. They don't like them.
Definitely false.
You have to have a warehouse to handle all this product.
False. I work in a tiny portion of our garage.
But you have to have this big forklift that you're driving down your driveway to get the stuff off the truck, right?
No, false.
And this is the most common one I see. The margins for wholesale are so much lower than the retail arb, the online arb, or the private label. That true or false?
It's false. There are some times where the margins are lower, but the difference between a wholesale margin and a retail or online arbitrage margin is it's not really a point in time with wholesale, right? So if I go to the store and I buy 5 toys from Target and I make $10 each and I sell them, and so let's say I made, you know, $50, 5 times 10. Well, next week I need to go, if I want to keep growing my business, I need to go find something else to sell to make that $10. And so let's say I made 50% ROI. If I sell wholesale and I make, let's say, $8 and I make 40%, well, the difference is in week 2, I go back and I resell the same item. And so people are wasting time, you know, looking at scanning stuff at the store or shopping online, trying to find that same type of SKU to replace that $10 profit. In the meantime, I've sold through, let's say, 30 units. And so that 40% ROI, let's say, compared to a 50% OA, if you take that same money that you spent and look at what your return is, it's really 200 or 300% because you just keep rolling it over. And so that's what I always say is it's different how you look at it in terms of return on investment, because you always have stuff to buy. You don't have to keep looking for stuff. You just keep reordering stuff that's selling. And so there's some items that I sell, I make 30%. There's some that I make over 300%. So, but I'm always have items to sell. I don't have to go look for new items all the time. So that's the nice thing about the wholesale model.
I love too that, you know, you were just away for a week. Did your business shut down while you were away, or were you able to plan for it?
No, I was able to plan for, you know, we took a vacation this June. Same thing. We didn't ship anything for like 2 weeks, but we just shipped stuff in ahead of time. And that's the nice thing, especially if you like to travel, if you want to go see different countries, if you want to go see family in different states. I mean, if you had the money, you could theoretically send in product January through March, have it all sitting there, and take the next 3 months off and don't send in anything because it's already at the warehouse. If, you know, if you forecast it for your sales, you figure out what you're going to sell through. There's a lot of weeks you don't have to work. And so that's the nice thing about the model is, like what you're saying, if you're RA or OA, you constantly have to be finding, it's like, find product, I need to scan, I need to go to the store, I need to do this, I need to do that. With wholesale, it's like you order it, and in some cases, the vendors send it directly to Amazon for me, and I don't even touch it. And so if you have some of those, I mean, ideally, you'd have like 20 of those that you never have to touch, and they just send it to Amazon for you, and you don't work like but half hour on Sunday placing your reorders, and that's all you do. I mean, so if you ever get to that point, that's like nirvana, but
right.
You don't.
Otherwise, you've created a job, right?
Right.
If you're doing it the other way, you really have created a job. And it's a good job, don't get me wrong. And like I said, there are million-dollar sellers, but it gets old. Even some of the mega sellers that I know, they say they're getting tired of being on the road. Like, hey, man, I'm getting a little worn out.
Yeah, and like I said, you know, more power to those people. But you know, when you have families and you're on the road, I met someone at CES last year. They were saying, yeah, I have to travel 4 days a week. We just have a new baby. And I'm like, why are you not looking at wholesale? Like, I couldn't fathom being away and on the road and that kind of thing. The wholesale model affords you that opportunity to spend more time with your family, spend more time with your kids. If you don't have a family, spend more time in your hobbies, whatever it is you want to do. But the mantra I have is, you know, you can make a full-time income doing this part-time, and a very, very, very nice full-time income.
And it's at a very efficient model.
Right, exactly.
You and I have a mutual friend, and he has told me many times that, you know, he's been very successful, and he's always been very successful in this business. And he was doing the retail and then online, and had, oh my gosh, I think he had 7 VAs working for him at one time. And he was just running into trouble. And then he took your course, and he uses your models, and he credits your models with his success, period. He said, Steve, it is the number one thing that I use is I take Todd's Excel model that, you know, download some reports, pop it in the model. It helps me forecast what I'm going to order. He says on Sunday nights, boom, I just do it, and then I place my orders, and then, you know, Now, they still pack and ship themselves, so that's what he spends his time. But you could even take it a step further and outsource it to the Bullards, to Prep Zero, or one of the other prep companies out there, right? I mean, you could really, or like you say, even better, send it directly to Amazon, right? Don't even prep. Let Amazon prep for you.
Right, exactly. I mean, when you think about the difference between having a job and a business, the wholesale model gives you that opportunity to really kind of be the CEO, and just all you're doing is oversight and management, right? So you place, you know, your orders on Sunday night is what I usually do. You could have all of them shipped to different locations. And the nice thing, too, when you think about all the different fulfillment prep services out there, with wholesale, your accounts are all over the U.S., right? So if I'm ordering clothing from California, where there's a lot of clothing companies, some of that clothing is, you know, like winter clothing, jackets, that could be heavy. That could, you be paying $3 a pound or $3 an item in shipping. Well, it would make sense to send those items to a prep service in California, pay a dollar, have them prep it for a dollar each. You're saving a dollar per item. You take your shoes you get from New York, you send that up to the prep service in Maine. You take your home goods that you get from Chicago, you send it to the prep service in Wisconsin. So the thing that people should be doing if they're wholesale, I would be utilizing multiple prep services. I wouldn't be using one. And you would just save not only money, but time, right? So I order from California. It takes 5 days to get to me. I have to prep it for a day or two, ship it to a warehouse. It takes another 4 days to get checked in. Maybe I'm having Amazon label it. If it goes from California to a prep service in California, maybe it takes a day. They turn around and one day it's in, you know, I'm getting an extra week and a half of sales off some of those items. And so lots of different ways you can build the wholesale model, but you could easily outsource most everything and just focus on growing the business, finding new accounts.
Let me make an observation here, okay, because I want people to understand what Todd just said. Todd's talking about, because he has the time. Right now, remember, he has a full-time job, a very responsible job, a family. He's got a lot of commitments, all the commitments we almost all have. He's able to spend his time rather than sourcing product continually, and we'll talk about that. You do still source, but you do it a different way. You're able to spend your time figuring out better ways to improve your process, right? So you're talking about really high-level stuff, getting the, you know, doing that modeling, right, talking about, well, it's going to take 5 days to get here and building in all those lag times, you're like, wait, I could have it go to this other location. It'll actually be cheaper and it'll be faster, and I've just improved the process. The other thing that I think is really key is you're talking about using multiple companies, because companies have glitches, right? So you use a prep company and things happen. Things, they get a storm, they're in this part of the country. By having these other accounts, you could move stuff around and really be effective there. I'm telling you, that is next level that most of us can't get to, because quite frankly, Todd, we're still trying to find product because we're outsourcing all the time. We're not running a business. We're working a job in a lot of cases. And I don't mean to sound negative, because I'm guilty of it too. But to have the ability to think like that is just, to me, really impressive, and that's what the model that you built, it gives you the ability to do that, Todd. I say well done.
Thanks. And to be clear, we're not leveraging that outsourcing model yet, because we've done shoes and clothes, we've done the prep work ourselves for this year, but that's something we're going to look to do for next year. The nice thing about my wife coming into the business this year was it allowed me to focus on new accounts, which is why we've been able to scale the business from January to where we're at now. And so then the next step next year is, okay, well, we start leveraging some of the prep services. You know, maybe my wife starts focusing on the financial part of it, takes that off my plate. I just continue to find more and more accounts. And so the ability to grow your business is based on what accounts you find, just like if you're doing OA or RA, it's based on finding product. The difference is when I find that, like, a clothing wholesale account, you know, I have the potential to order possibly, you know, 200 to 1,000 different SKUs because of all the variations. The same thing for shoes. Or even if I'm ordering other products, the key for me is finding new accounts. And so I'm always looking for ways to streamline things, improve processes, eliminate you know, bottlenecks, things of that nature. And so that's why it's very important for me to stay focused. So I squeeze every bit of time back into the clock to allow me to find wholesale accounts, because that's where my strength is. I know that's what I'm good at. I'm good at finding accounts.
Do you like that part of it too, Todd?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I like that. You know, I know people talk about the thrill of the hunt of, you know, RA or OA. The thrill of the hunt, you know, when I try to tell people, it's the same for wholesale. The difference is, you know, maybe you don't have that product you're physically touching, but if you think about, hey, I found, you know, 10, you know, Furbies at Kmart, I'm going to make 10 bucks each. Think about if you land that wholesale account that's going to generate you $50,000 in profit from one wholesale account. I mean, to me, that's a lot more exciting than buying 10 Furbies to make $100 on. And so you're going after, like, big game. You know, you're going after these huge companies that have multiple SKUs and thousands of products potentially, instead of pulling five items off the shelf. So to me, the thrill of the hunt is even greater because of the potential of what you're capturing when you get those accounts. And so, you know, I've had people come to me and say, hey, I want to pay you just to find me a wholesale account and give it to me. And I'm like, I couldn't even put a dollar amount of what that would be worth, because, you know, there's one account that was making me like $10,000 a month, you know, in the middle of this summer. And it's like, what price could you put on an account that could make you $10,000 month after month over the course of the next 3, 5, or 10 years when you have that account? It's like, that's what I think people miss as far as the excitement and the potential when they talk about the thrill of the hunt that they seem to get from RA or OA that's there in wholesale. It's just kind of twisted a little bit different direction for how it appears to them.
Well, it's not sexy. I mean, let's face it, you know, when you could show a picture of shopping carts lined up, you know, 10 shopping carts coming out of Toys R Us, it's like, wow, you know, I got to race over to mine because there's one right here. You know, wholesale is not sexy. But let's go back to let's talk about the myths, right? It's expensive. You have to have thousands. You're making purchases of thousands of dollars. Well, as you said, you could do as little as $100. Some of my wholesale accounts are a couple hundred dollars to get the free shipping is the way, you know, typically we try to do it. But, you know, talk about that. Did you start, you know, when you start a new wholesale account, are you ordering thousands? Are you trying to order minimums because you want to be certain that everything's going to work, right?
Yeah, I just order small. Even now when I have more capital to spend because I've grown the business, I still go relatively small. Like, you know, as you mentioned, I try to order by the case pack wherever possible because I do commingling. And so I just want to turn around and ship that case back into Amazon. If it has to come to me, maybe it needs to be labeled, or I just always want to, especially the first shipment, regardless if they say they'll send it to Amazon, I have it sent to me. I want to see the product, see how it's bagged, see how it's packaged, see what it looks like, make sure it matches the Amazon page, you know, everything matches up. So the first shipment, regardless, I have always sent to me. But I always just want to kind of see what it is and then go from there. But try to order a case pack where possible so I can send it in. I'll try to order the minimum dollar amount to get free shipping. So if they say, let's say the minimum's 200, but if you order 500, you get free shipping, I'll do that. And I'll just send it in. And I don't know, a lot of people get caught up in sales rank, and people have the 1% and the 5% and the 10%. It matters a little bit, but the numbers I care about most is once I have the product in my Amazon account and I see the stats and the traffic, to me, that's all that matters. Sales rank goes out the window. It doesn't – what the sales rank is has no bearing anymore once you have the product in your Amazon warehouse and you see stats. So when I talked about kind of at the beginning how it's all a numbers game, it truly is. If I see, okay, this item gets 100 page views a week and this item gets 2, I mean, sometimes the rank is only a given point in time, right? The item that's getting 2 page views a week – possibly someone bought it for, let's say, a baby shower, and they bought 3 units. And so it looks like the rank is, oh, it's 10,000. It's great. It's selling. I'm going to buy 50 of them. Well, you know, it really hasn't sold in like the last 2 years, but it's a rank at a given point in time. So I know a lot of people tend to focus on rank. To me, I always want to be testing things, try it out, get it into my inventory so I can see the stats from the Amazon reports. I utilize a bunch of Amazon different reports. And to me, the numbers tell the story. The sales rank at that point is out the window. It doesn't matter. So the sales rank can kind of be a little bit of a guide when you're making a buying decision, but the numbers you have once you have it in your inventory is going to drive 95% of your business decisions at that point.
And again, this is where your modeling works, right? Where you can take this data, put it into your model, and it will help you forecast, right? And you'll see a slow seller, and you're saying, okay, that's now out, right? And I think the other thing to think about, typically, most of the stuff is a keystone markup, right? So you're paying about half price, right, of whatever the regular retail selling price is typically, right? And I know there's higher and lower and all that kind of jazz. But worst case, if it sells, right, you're buying products that you know are going to sell. Now, maybe they won't sell at the price you want them to, but you know they'll sell, right? Because otherwise you wouldn't buy it. Even if it sells at a much lower price, you're probably going to still basically break even, and then you won't buy it again, right? I mean, I think that's one of the things that I think people get clouded on. They're used to going and finding an item that they can spend $10 and it sells for $30, right? The three-time rule. It's going to sell for $30. Amazon's going to take a third. I double my money. Boom, I'm on it again, right? That's an exciting model. In wholesale, you know, assuming it's selling at full price on Amazon, and that's the danger, is assuming it's going to sell at full price. You're buying it at half price. You're sending it in, and if it sells at full price, you know, they take their third, roughly, thereabouts, and you're getting less, right? So it is not that one-third, 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 generally speaking, right?
Yep.
But if the price declines, and let's face it, when you're doing – and I think people are seeing it now. I've seen so many comments about, hey, I bought all these toys, and now there's 452 sellers. The price is, I mean, honest to God, if you look out in the Facebook, I know you're not a big Facebook person, that's the comments that are out there in these last week. There's 452 sellers. And if they all have 30, I mean, we're talking, you know, thousands of items that has to go through. That price will decline. There's no question it will decline. In your scenario, because you're buying it and you know what the price kind of historically was, it can decline, but more than likely, you're still going to break even and get out of it, and then you move on and stay away from it. I think it's a lot less risky, you know, because you're not going to compete with 450. You're not buying stuff where there's 452 sellers, correct?
No chance.
And it's not outed in a group. See, that's the problem, is some of these things are outed in groups, and all of a sudden 50 of us go and buy those things. Well, now all of a sudden there's 50 competitors plus whoever was there before. That's the difference between wholesale. And I let's go to the next one. They don't want to sell to online sellers. So I'm sure you run into that, right? And you'd rather run into it up front, right, and just say, okay, that's fine. Your goal is to contact how many people I think it was, 30 days? If you contact X number of people, you'll have X number of wholesale accounts. Can you walk me through that formula you use?
Yeah. So when I started, my goal and what I kind of preach in the group is 10 contacts per day. So 10 contacts per business day, that's 200 contacts a month. And these are all email. You know, I didn't make any contacts through phone. Every once in a while, you know, when you send the email, a sales rep might call you back that's local to you. And I didn't go to any trade shows the first 2 years of my company. And I was still able to find wholesale accounts relatively easily. Now, you are going to get some people that say no to you. There will be some people that don't respond. But, you know, if you send out 200 accounts, you're going to get anywhere from 10 to 20 wholesale accounts on average.
And so about 10%, between 5 and 10% is what you think, that's what your capture rate is. That's what you're expecting.
Right. Now, these are just if you're sending out blind, if you're not doing like any research, if you're not like checking there on Amazon, making sure Amazon's not on the listing. Because a lot of those, when I come back and they'll say, hey, we'll set you up with an account, there's a lot of those I don't order from. And so I don't count those because, you know, back then, you know, we didn't have like the tools like Jungle Scout or other things. You could check real easily if Amazon was on the listing. You check reviews, that kind of thing. So there's a lot more accounts that they say, hey, you can order from us, sure, whatever. But then when I check, you know, I get their costs, or I get their, you know, I see if Amazon's on the listing or whatever. And so in the earlier days, I wasn't doing any of that pre-screening, and I would still get anywhere from, you know, you get 10 to 20 accounts. You'll order from a few of those, and then maybe a few of those someone else comes in on and buys eventually, or maybe Amazon comes in on one of them over a course of the year. And so then the next month you find a few more, and then the next month you find a few more, and you just keep stacking them on top of each other, and you're always kind of replacing your bottom accounts that A, it takes too much time to prep, or B, there's not as much profit, or C, there is a high return rate, or whatever it may be, but you're continuously looking for accounts. And so at no point do you kind of stop looking for accounts, because you're always trying to find things that are better. So if you're happy with whatever you're making today, if you say, like, I want to make $100,000 in gross sales, and you find 10 accounts that get you that, well, that's fine. You don't necessarily have to keep looking. And you could just ride that out and just keep reordering and do whatever else you want in your life. But if you want to continue to grow and scale your business, which wholesale allows you to do, you continuously look for new accounts. And so you're always kind of replacing, updating, refreshing. And it's kind of like what I think you were saying with Randy Reynolds when you talked about that stock portfolio. So you have, let's say, 10 wholesale accounts. You have three of your blue chips. You're like, wholesale accounts that just crush it, where you're making 300% margin. You have two that are maybe like, oh, it's okay, I order from every week. Maybe you have another three that you order from once a month. And then maybe the last two, it's like, yeah, I'm only making 30%. I want to replace those and find, you know, a better type of SKU for my portfolio. And so you're always kind of on the lookout to replace those bottom accounts to get better performing accounts. It's going to help you scale your business that much quicker.
Well, that leads me to a question. You started in 2012 with wholesale. Do you still have accounts that you have from 2012 that you still buy from today, 3 years later?
Yeah, I still have accounts that I buy from. There's some that I don't buy from just because I found better accounts, higher margins, higher selling price, because that's been one of my focuses this year. But yeah, I still have accounts that I've ordered from, that I've been ordering from for 4 years. And so the nice thing is it's, you can have those accounts really as long as you want to. It's your decision when you kind of leave. Either you're saying, hey, I found a better account to replace that, or maybe four other people came on it over 4 years, and so it's like I'm only getting the buy box 8% of the time or 10% or whatever it is, and you can just get out of it and sell it. And the thing, kind of what you mentioned before, is the wholesale is less risk-averse than I think any other model. I haven't had any, like, products or accounts that I've taken a bath on or have to sell like way below cost. You always can get out of it, you know, break even, or you make $1 or $2 or whatever it is, because 99% of the people are all buying at the same cost you are. Some big sellers, maybe they get, you know, an extra 50 cents here or there, but you're all playing the same game. There's no, you know, I had a 15% Target coupon, and then, you know, I had a friends and family 25% coupon from the manager, and oh yeah, you know, I cleared the shelves, I got another 10%. Everyone's buy cost is the same with wholesale, so it's a pretty level playing field when it comes to selling your items. And it's the reason why, even though I use a repricer, I only reprice about 10% of my items, because the whatever you want to price it at, it's going to sell for within, you know, 1-5% of that price, you know, 90% of the time.
Well, you know, you also aren't running into vendors on Amazon saying, you're not authorized to sell my product. Here's a great example. I saw somebody out there talking about Under Armour again, right? Under Armour is going to be a restricted category to only authorized sellers, okay? And so you have to prove to Amazon that you are an authorized seller of Amazon. Well, all the wholesalers that sell Amazon or sell Under Armour, they're going to be able to prove it. They are authorized by Under Armour. You're not running into that. I'm sure once in a while somebody says, hey, you got to prove it, and you just got a letter or whatever, or an invoice from the manufacturer. But, I mean, that's a big difference with wholesale versus retail versus online arbitrage, right?
Yeah, you don't. Every once in a while, a company might decide to kick off the Amazon sellers if they want to sell it themselves. I think that's happened maybe twice in 4 years where a company's done that. And it's usually a lower-priced item where it's selling at $15 and it gets driven down to like $9.99 or something ridiculous because of there's too many sellers on the listing, because it's an easier account to find where it's advertised in a trade magazine or something like that where people can find it without really doing any effort or work. But the wholesale model to me is the least risk-averse model, and I like less risk. I like stability. So I always have an invoice. If Amazon says, hey, someone says that this is counterfeit or this is used, you know, you didn't buy this new, hey, I have an invoice that came directly from the manufacturer to me, to you. I have that chain of kind of custody. It's not a liquidation lot that maybe it's not a return from the store. You know, I had this happen one time where I had bought, I think it was a toaster at Walmart, just sent it in, and the customer complained and said they found like breadcrumbs in the toaster, like it was a used item. And I was like, I guess someone could have returned it to Walmart. They didn't check it. They just stuck it back on the shelf. I bought it. I sold it. You know, boom. I don't really, I can say I bought it there, but I can't be certain what the condition was per se because I didn't open it and check it. With wholesale, I know everything, you know, it's coming from the manufacturer to me. I have the invoice saying, hey, this is new. It came here. I bought it. And I think eventually Amazon is moving toward that model where they want proof. They want to know where it came from. Think about in 2016, this whole new packing list thing, when you want to say, what exactly are you packing in this box? With wholesale, if I order a case, hey, everything that's in there is the case. It's that one SKU. It's a size 8 shoe that's blue. Packing slips are easy when you're doing wholesale, or easier because you know what's in it. A lot of time it's whatever is in the case. Think about doing, you know, one item here, a two item from Target, three items from Bed Bath & Beyond, two items from Toys R Us, and trying to Jenga that, figure out what's going to be in the box and do your packing list and not have to spend a half hour. Or think about how you're going to communicate that to a prep service. Oh, my gosh, headaches galore.
You know, I think this, you know, I hope that we're whetting the appetite for a whole bunch of people. It's Q4. This is a crazy time. We're all in crazy mode, right? You're not. We are. You're not. And we'll talk about that in a second. But I think this is the key. If you're thinking, if you see the writing on the wall, and I saw somebody out there today, I think it was Brandon from Prime Zero Prep mentioned, he's like, you know, Target, the question came up about Target canceling a bunch of accounts, right, for people and blocking them. He's like, the writing is on the wall with that stuff. You really have to change your model. You really have to get there. Now is the time to be planning for Q1. January is coming. We're almost, Q4 is almost over. I mean, I don't want to say it that way, but it is. You've got to start thinking about what you're going to do next year. As you mentioned, Todd, they are going to be changing a whole bunch of rules. It's going to get more complicated, that piece of it. Now is the time to build that foundation. I always like to think of this business as a foundation, right? The good news is, if you've been in this business for any length of time, you figured out a lot of stuff, right? You figured out a lot of the process. Now is the time to get the foundation in place so you could take advantage of that knowledge. And I just think it's such a great model that you use. You're not running around like a chicken right now, are you, fourth quarter?
No, I send a few things in. You know, I'll get some big shipments coming in that to send in. But, you know, that's going to cover me through pretty much most of December. And so, you know, people say, hey, you're going to get like the, you know, like Frozen was hot last year. It's like, I'm not scrambling and trying to find what's hot. I just reorder the same stuff I sell year-round. And people are like, oh, you know, is this like little figurine that goes on a dinner table going to sell? Yeah, it sells 2X in November and 3X in December. You know, this is the fourth Q4 or third Q4 I'm having. And the first couple years were the same thing. November was 2X, December was 3X. Now, some items might be, you know, 4X or 6X. Maybe some items are 1.5X if you don't have inventory. And there's some extenuating circumstances. But overall, my overall numbers were like almost exactly like 2X October, 2X November, 3X December. And everything sells. You know, it's not, you're not trying to reinvent the wheel. Whatever I'm selling January through October, I sell the same thing in November. I sell the same thing in December. I just sell more of it. So, you know, I'm not trying to catch that hot trend, or I'm not trying to get Star Wars approved. I'm not trying to find all these Star Wars tchotchkes, you know, at all the different places. And, you know, I'm not going to be out there Black Friday at 4 a.m. in Chicago, you know, with hot chocolate trying to stay warm so I can get, you know, things to flip on Amazon. It's like, no, I've already placed my orders with the wholesaler. I'm like sending stuff in here and there, but all I'm focusing on is managing my inventory levels and repricing. And when I say repricing, I'm repricing up. because I've used my forecasting template to make sure I have inventory. I've anticipated the increased demand for November and December. And so kind of getting back to your point about not making margin, the first kind of myth we talked about, there's huge opportunities to make big margins in November and December because you stay in stock and your competition doesn't. And so that kind of forecasting file that you talked about that we have in the Wholesale Intel group, that's what we leverage. That's what I use. And so I have all the data in there. It says, you know, flags red, you reorder this, you reorder whatever you want to, you reorder 2X and 3X. When my competition runs out, hey, instead of selling at $20, oops, my price just went up to $30 and I sell more. And so you make up huge margin if you ever think it's down because of those extra sales you get in November and December by being in stock on your inventory.
Again, it's not sexy. You know, it's not the, you know, hey, man, look at me, my hair's in the wind and I'm doing this. This is real. If you're getting serious about this business, if you really want to make this a business, this is probably the model. I mean, I really believe it's the model. It's going to be the only model out there. And I will say this, private label is wholesale. I mean, it really is. When it comes down to it, you know, you are developing a product and you're setting up a vendor and that. It's wholesale, but it's wholesale. You're taking over the whole operation just about from beginning to end, where wholesale, somebody else does that and you're buying from somebody else. So you tighten down the piece that you want to do. You know, Todd, you made a big change in your business switching product lines, right? You used to be more home-oriented merchandise, and now you're mostly shoes and clothing. You've doubled your sales because you've doubled your average selling price. Why don't you give us a few lines about that?
Yep. So the first 3 years, and part of this was just because I was in my own silo, not working, didn't know any better, but you know, I was a very high volume, lower margin person. And because everything came in a case and I could just ship it to Amazon, it's like, hey, this is, you know, I work 5 hours a week and make, you know, a decent money. But then eventually it's like, well, I would need to grow the business. I want to grow. I want to work less but make more. And so my focus for 2015 was really on finding higher selling items. And so last year, I think my average selling price was around $16.50 or so, give or take. Not very good. And this year, I'm up around $33-ish, I think, because I've switched over to a lot of shoes and clothes. And so there was a conscious effort, you know, I made when I was looking at goals for 2015 is I want to make more money, sell less units. So like last year, I sold, I think, like 40,000 units or something like that. And this year I'm going to sell a lot less, but I'm going to do double the amount of gross sales roughly, depending on how Q4 goes, finishes up. But it's less work. And when you think about reducing your costs, right, we talk about improving your process. I also look for ways to reduce my costs. So you think about, you know, you're shipping less boxes. So the change to dimensional weight, you know, some of the shipping costs went up. So what are we going to do to lower, to offset some of those increases? Well, I'm shipping less. So I'm paying, you know, a dollar, whatever, 18 per medium box from Home Depot. I'm shipping half of many of those in because I'm selling half as many units. And so I have less, you know, poly bags to buy because I'm selling half as many units. So all those little costs factor into your bottom line to also increase your margin. And so think about from a wholesale model, I've totally shifted the products. You know, I was mostly home goods, some other baby pet things, other categories last year. I sold $0 of shoes and clothes in 2014. And now in 2015, I think it's roughly 75 to 80% of my business. And I've doubled my sales going to two totally different categories I didn't sell in. And I'm not sure that that's possible to make such a drastic change like that unless you're doing wholesale and you can find those accounts.
Well, I think that's smart. It isn't a pick, and correct me if I'm wrong, for a not an oversized product, any product, a pick and pack fee for a $5, $10 item is exactly the same as it is for an $90 pair of sneakers. Am I correct?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. So let's think about that, right? Whatever the pick and pack fee, it's a dollar plus blah, 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 blah. On a $10 item, it's a huge percentage. On a $90 item, it's a minuscule percentage. So when you look at margins, you can't just look at the selling price and the Amazon fees. As you say, you've got all these little pieces that have to add up to get your total cost. And I think that people have to get to that place to be able to start thinking like that and stop running around, because you can't think like that when you're running and you're like, oh, I got to go get product tonight. You don't have to go get product. Am I correct?
No.
Nope, you don't have to go get anything. It's already there. You know, I mean, it's just amazing to me. I hope we whetted appetites, because I've been a member of Todd's group, the Wholesale Intel group, for, since CES 2 years ago, I think it was. And you're getting ready to relaunch it. And I'm reading some of the features. All right, so here's the features of the Wholesale Intel program. Everything you need to get started wholesaling. So somebody who's never wholesaled before, you're going to walk them through that. You're going to show them how to source trade shows, how to contact and win over wholesalers, including you have templates for emails. So, you know, Steve doesn't have to reinvent the wheel. You have proven templates that have worked for you, correct?
Yep.
You have rules for ordering products. I don't know what that means. Tell me what that means.
So it's just kind of like a flow chart that says, hey, if the rank is this, do this. If Amazon's on the listing, do this. If there's this many sellers on it, do this. It just says some general guidelines to kind of be like, hey, if I was sitting with your desk next to you and you're thinking, should I order this or not? It's just a few basic guidelines to help you with making a buying decision.
So it's like having a partner there right alongside of you. So, hey, you know, somebody you can talk to. Hey, let me look at this. So secrets to using keyword search to find the best wholesalers, how to find profitable product distributors, because a lot of times you can't buy from the manufacturer. They only sell to distributors who then handle those things. I think that's great. How to automate it with virtual assistants, how to increase margins. And I think that that's going to be another place when you start squeezing those pennies on both sides. That's when you're raising your prices and you're lowering your costs, that's how you accumulate wealth. I mean, it's one or the other, they work, but when you can do both, you can really grow very quickly. Forecasting Q4 sales. Again, we have a mutual friend who gives you 100% of the credit, and this is a mega seller. I know him personally. I've seen his numbers. He credits your model for him getting control of his life and, boom, taking advantage of opportunity. It's in a great course. I'm going to have a link to it. You gave me a special link, and I really appreciate that. It's going to be on E-Commerce Momentum Podcast, this episode, which is going to be episode 41. I'm really excited about it because you're giving all your videos are there, right? So you're going to be able to see all the spreecasts that Todd has done, and so you can refer back to them. And is this – they're going to have to watch them quick, or can they refer back to them back and forth, Todd?
Yeah, the content's always there. So when they sign up, there's videos for the course that walk you through beginning to end. We also have over 60 archived spreecasts. So we do private spreecasts now for the group, so – any question you want answered, you can get it done on the spreecasts, which are just for the group members or in the group. So no excuses not to succeed. All the content's there, how to get started, how to find accounts, how to place orders, how to forecast, and there's additional coaching. So there's just a one-time fee for the group. You get access to the videos and then the Facebook group and spreecasts, and just a one-time fee up front. Very, very simple, very easy.
And it's a private Facebook group that you get access to. So that's where you can talk about things and say, hey, you know, what do I do with this? And that support network is really important. It's $197. I'm going to put it out there, right?
Well, unless you get the special e-commerce momentum discount link.
All right. Tell me what that says. What's that?
I think that's $149.
$149. So, you know, I'm not a big hypester or a huckster on these things. It's a little uncomfortable for me to tell you this, but if you really want to get control of your business, if you really are looking for a business, and I know because I've been there, this is a great deal. His course is great. He's so, you know, as you hear in Todd's voice, he's straightforward. There's no nonsense. There's not a lot of other discussion. It's here's how you can do it. Put your head down. get going on it. And so I have the link. It's out on my podcast, ecommercemomentum.com, episode 41. You're going to see Todd Lammy. And at the bottom, you'll have a link to it. I really appreciate you doing this because for that fee, right, think of what you're going to get. It's a one-time fee. That's it. And you will get access to all this merchandise, all this information that you could take action on. And just put your head down. I love it. 200 contacts a month, you're going to get 10 to 20 wholesale accounts that you can buy from. That's incredible, Todd. I mean, just think about it. If you get a couple SKUs, I'm working on a shoe company. I mentioned this to you before that I'm working on a shoe company. They have 5 product lines. And, you know, think about, you know, 5 different companies that they rep. Think of the hundreds and hundreds of SKUs that are in those. And these are all really great SKUs. So I keep thinking to myself, man, if I can land this account, this is very exciting for me because this will take care of a huge piece of our business going forward.
Yeah. And the nice thing, too, is you can always test things. A lot of times you'll find, you know, once you get a few accounts and you say, okay, well, these are the best sellers. And I always will try to order, you know, 2 or 3 new things each order and just test it out. Because, again, the rank is just a point in time. It doesn't tell you the real story. Maybe someone just relisted it for, like, shoes. There's always new styles. So maybe there's a new winter boot that just launched. If you look at the rank, it's 200,000. So you're like, all right, well, let me just try out, you know, 3 pairs or something and test them out. And they sell in 2 days. And it's like, you know, if you're scanning at the store and you see that rank, you're like, well, I just leave it there because it's like, I'm just going by the rank. I don't know. With wholesale, you have a chance to test some of those things, and you find plenty of winners. And the nice thing is most people don't find those. Even the people that have the same wholesale account as you, they don't do that digging further. They don't ask for, you know, an Excel file with UPC numbers to run through and find some of those outside products that are going to be successful besides the ones that maybe just are right in front of your face or at the top of the search page. So there's plenty and plenty of opportunity, especially when you get into clothing and shoes. You think about all the variations, all the colors, all the sizes. There's winter clothes, winter shoes, summer shoes. So many options that it's just you don't even really have enough money to buy all the different products you can find. But, you know, I see people doing ROI. It's like, I can't find stuff to buy. I have money to spend. With wholesale, there's limitless, there's unlimited, there's no limit to the stuff you can buy. You're going to run out of money before you run out of product.
Yeah, and you're right. You're going to way run out of money. And it's just so exciting. I'm really excited because, I've already kind of talked to Todd behind the scenes. I have a friend, and he's already signed up for the course because he's at that place where he can't keep the pace going in retail, and online is, you know, sketchy with accounts getting canceled and stuff. And he's like, Steve, I just need to find a way. And I'm like, this is the perfect thing. This is exactly what it is. It's $150. I mean, come on. Sign up, get in there, learn how to get a business going. You've learned a lot. And I still think that there's value out there in the retail world in learning that, because I think you learn what not to do and you learn a lot of that stuff and you start to get an eye for what's selling. That's really going to help you in this wholesale world because you're going to have an eye for what's selling. Boom. He's going to show you how to get some accounts. You go for that type of account. You have some success. Now you can move on. That first block is built. Now let's move to the second block and move to the third block. I just think it's so exciting. I'm really excited about it. I am very, very humbled that you're allowing me to do this for my audience. I really appreciate it, Todd. I'm a full supporter, as you know. Been with you for a while because I believe in it so much. I'll have the link on e-commerce momentum. Todd, I really appreciate you taking the time, especially the second time because of my mistake on the last one. So I just really appreciate it. I have his contact information. It'll all be here on the page. I really appreciate you taking the time, Todd.
No problem. Thank you so much, Stephen, for having me on. I've enjoyed all of your podcasts and listening to them, learned a ton of information. So honored to have been a guest on your show. So thank you for the opportunity.
I'm very kind. Hey, thank you. You have a great night. Okay, if you've listened this long, I know you're interested. Trust me, I am in because I just think so much of it. If you're interested in signing up, click on one of the links on ecommercemomentum.com, podcast number 41, Todd Lammy, Wholesale Intel. There's a link. I think there's three links there. Click on one of them. It'll take you to a special page, which is my link only, that allows you to get the $50 discount. He's been very generous, and I'm really excited about it, because I think if you're serious about taking this to the next level, you're thinking, hey, I want to build a foundation, which again, if you've listened to the other 39, you've heard it from these other successful sellers. They have built foundations. This is the time to start. You're going to have some spare money from Q4. Use that money, build a business, get a couple wholesale accounts, just like Todd says, take the approach and build a long-term business for yourself. And I wish you nothing but the success of the future has for you. I think there's just so much opportunity if you take a foundational, consistent approach. Take care. Hey, just wanted to update the podcast episode here to say that the price has increased. It's now $297 for this course. However, Todd still allows a $50 discount to my podcast listeners. So go to e-commerce momentum podcast episode 41, click on the link for Wholesale Intel, and you will get that $50 discount. Man, I just hope you jump in that course with me. Take care. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the e-commerce momentum podcast. All the links mentioned today can be found at ecommercemomentum.com under this episode number. Please remember to subscribe and like us on iTunes.